It's been 5 years since the final big day out, the famous travelling music festival that brought some of the world's biggest bands to Australia. The event pioneered a new era of big multi-stage live music events in this country. And this week, a new podcast has been released chronicling the rise and fall of the big day out, featuring one of the men who helped make it all possible. Ken West was co-founder of the big day out. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
It's so great for so many Australians to remember the big day out through this podcast series. We've also been marking it with our album of the week this week. The first big day out was in Sydney in 1992. It ran for just one day. What were you trying to do?
It all depends on how you say that. The principal thing's very simple, is that I'd been in an independent scene for 10 years, bringing independent artists from New Order onwards since 82, really, and working with Nick Cave in the early days of the Boys Dick through a bit. But, and I was just finding more and more that the independent scene was being pushed down and we were being pulled apart, as cool as we, and I wanted to bring them all together in an urban environment that would lift everybody's standards and put it out there that it was an important movement.
And why do you think it took off so quickly? Because it did just explode.
Right thing, right time. I mean, the irony of it is, as I said to a few people, that having Nevada on the first show, while it was amazing in a historical sense, at the time I was annoyed because they'd gotten too popular and I had to stop selling tickets. So they actually cost me more money than I thought. In the short term, but in the long term, no, that doesn't matter. That was just a funny sideline on it. It all came together because it was a chance for what was commonly known as, you know, tribal gatherings in any of these things, is that they could all pull together and find the similarities. And that was really fantastic.
I mean, the names that you pulled and the bands that you pulled were extraordinary. Nirvana, Kanye West, Bjork over the decades. Is there a moment for you that stands out as a favourite memory?
Well, they're all different. They're all different. I mean, my favourite memory really comes down to something as simple as in doing the one show and being a touring company. I thought, well, how do we keep that great vibe of being on the road when you've got 15 acts or 12 acts and international, so they had to get along. So it was a very consulting process that you pulled that lineup together. And in 93, it really cemented the idea that the acts should be inclusive on what acts are on. There was a lot of debate about who was on, and that ultimately culminated in things like, you know, mass sing-alongs for Lust for Life with Iggy Pop, with Nick Cave and Sonic Youth and, you know, Be Suburban and everybody on stage at the same time, and then partying together after the show. It just it became a circus, and I know how to work a circus.
I read a line from you saying that you used to describe yourself as running the world's biggest childcare centres.
Well, a daycare centre. I didn't say child, but daycare. You can have a daycare centre for adults. But it was that, and that's also part of the problem of where it went sideways a bit, is that parents were believing that too, and so they were dropping off their 12-year-olds, you know, like they were going off to the park and leaving them with us. So it's and that's why it was also very important to have a mixture of old and young people at the same show. The older people will keep the younger people, in line a bit, and the younger people will remind the older people they're not having enough fun.
I think it's normally the younger people that have to keep the older ones in line. Festivals.
What?
Is it a matter of sadness to you that the festival's no longer around?
No, not really, not at all. I mean, the weird thing about it is that when I stopped it in 97, it was because it was destroying my life. When I went home, I couldn't listen to anything apart from music by dead people or film soundtracks, because I didn't want to think about putting them on the show. So it was very exhausting in that process. And as I've said to people, the simplest thing to explain why the Big Day Out ended is it just collapsed under its own weight. No, we ended up with over 700 people on the road, and
Oh, it sounds like we've lost that line, which is rather unfortunate. Really enjoying that conversation with Ken West. I think you're there. Ken, we're going to play some music, but I suppose a question that many people will have that ever went to a big day out, will it ever come back? Will you ever do another one?
Oh, no. No, that's not really, that's a time and a place, you know, like, let's face it, like, they've made a few attempts at reliving Woodstock. Unless you can bring the audience from then, that's a different story. There's an innocence that's lost through that process. There's a change in the structure of how things are done. The glory days of the big day out is when the police left us alone. We knew what we were doing. We tried as much as possible to have a oneness there, and now there's too many divisions, the process of presuming all young people are criminals and scaring them before they're coming into the show. That doesn't make for a great day for anybody.
Ken West, we really appreciate it this morning. Thank you so much. Let's take a listen to the 1993 Big Day Out. Here's Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, the ship song.
Come sail your ships around me and burn your bridges down. We make a little history, a baby, every time you call around. Come loose your dogs upon me and let your hair hang down. You are a little mystery to me every time you call around. We talked about it down.
Cave and the Bad Seeds with the Ship Song at the 1993 Big Day Out. And fantastic to have that conversation with Ken West.